Amen. Whew, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I just have such an urgency in my heart that if you're not making the word of the Lord priority every day, you need to. I feel like it's going to be so important in these last days that we are worded up. Instead of filled up, we are worded up, because I believe there's going to be situations when you're a child of God and you are mature. God puts you in mature situations, right? He's not going to send one of his toddlers out to deal with a difficult situation. He's going to send those of us who are mature in the word. And we need to be ready. And you look at your hands. This is what I feel like. Look at your hands today. Just stop and look at them. These hands in this place are anointed to heal. Not just Steve and I. Your hands are anointed to heal. And you got to stop looking at yourself as, I'm not good enough. No. He says, they will go lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen? Say, I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Yes, when you open up your mouths, you need to know when you speak the word of God, you are a vessel he is flowing through with his word to change the situation, to change it. We are powerhouses, but for too long, the enemy has kept us bound up and belittled us so that we don't get it. If you didn't read your prayer and praise this week, you need to read it. There's a verse in Colossians that talks about that Jesus made a spectacle of the devil and publicly disgraced him and disarmed him. Ella and I were talking about this week, and I was telling her, do you understand what that means? Disarmed. When someone has been disarmed, they are no longer a what? Threat. They are no longer a threat in your life. So when the devil comes, he's like, rah! All these terrible things. You just look at him and go, dude, you're disarmed. You're just throwing words at me. You have no authority. Why does he have no authority? Because Jesus is in you. And he said when he left, he was giving us the Holy Spirit, so greater works would we do. It's time, Redeemed Church, to do greater works. Amen? They went about preaching, but what followed? Signs and wonders. That's what I'm looking for. Signs and wonders for this church. That we're going to go deeper in the Lord so signs and wonders follow us. That when people have a situation, they know who to call. But they're not going to stop there, because we're going to use our voices and say, it's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to make your life right with God, because this authority can be yours as well. Amen? Deeper with the Lord. Just make that something that you just dwell on this week. Any situation you walk into, you are anointed for that situation. You have everything you need as a child of God for that situation. And when you are praying and when you are reading your word and you're listening to things, it's storing up inside of you. You may not know it, but every time you read your Bible, the Holy Spirit's cataloging in your brain. He's cataloging that word. Why? So when you need it in a situation, you go to open your mouth, and the Holy Spirit goes, this one, this one, this one. You're like, I didn't even know that I knew those verses, right? But it's just flowing out of you to reach that person right at that moment. Amen? So are we going deeper? Amen. Yes. Okay, so like Steve said, I'll start in just a second here. Like Steve said, we're going back over all the verses. We're going back over the verse for letter A. Next week, I will have all the verses for you for the whole lesson. We actually snuck away to the beach yesterday as a family. It was really fun. But I didn't get quite everything done I wanted to get done. So we are going to go over letter A again today. But one of the reasons, can you just flip through them, whoever has the clicker for me? One more. One of the reasons that we have all of these is cataloging. It's so that you can have these verses and these words in your mind so when someone comes to talk to you about why they shouldn't tithe, you are ready. I'll have extra papers next week. But you can take those extra papers, and if you have someone in your family that's like, I don't tithe because all God wants is my money. Really? Here's A to Z of what he wants. And nowhere in there is your money. He wants to get stuff to you. You're being held back. Amen? So we'll have that for next week. We can go and go back to A. Thank you for my little lovely clicker over there. Okay. So church, we are starting a new series. It's called the ABCs of Tithing. And letter A is in 1 Chronicles 29:12. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And the first word, letter A, stands for acknowledge where your wealth comes from. And in verse 12, we'll back it up just a little bit. Let's go to verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. I don't know about you, but that's reason to tithe right there, because all these are his. Amen? The power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. Where do riches come from? The Lord. He is the one who has the riches. Riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. I love David. He starts with praising the Lord. He makes his declaration and he ends with praising the Lord. Because that's who's speaking right now is King David. As the people had brought in their tithes and their offerings. But it's important here to notice, where does our wealth come from? Our wealth doesn't come from the world. Now, you may get a check from Social Security. You may get a check from your work. But I'm here to tell you, as a tither and a giver, when you tithe, you are acknowledging they are not your source. They're just the vessel God is flowing through to bless your life. But your finances, all of them, come from the Lord. Well, we can't get too wealthy because, you know, we'll fall away from the Lord. No, absolutely not. Because when I tithe, I'm acknowledging that God is the God of my finances. And if he is my source, why would I ever leave the source? Amen? And this is where people get messed up. They get tricked up. Tripped? I said tricked. Tricked and tripped. They get tripped up in their thinking that if they have too much money, they'll forget the Lord. No, you won't. As long as you acknowledge him all the time, when finances come in, from whatever avenue they come in, when they come into your life, you're acknowledging that he is Lord by tithing. You're saying, Lord, this wealth has come into my hands, and I know where it's from. It's from you. Because wealth or riches, either translation that you say, wealth or riches and honor are from the Lord. He bestows those things upon us. And as we are learning the ABCs of tithing, the main number one thing we need to learn first off is when you tithe, you're acknowledging. You're saying, this money in my account came from you. And I'm staying connected with you. How do you do that? You write your tithe check. A tenth. You give the Lord what is his because he needs your money. You know, for his streets of gold. No, he doesn't need your money. What he's trying to do is he's trying to disconnect you from the world and connect you with him. Have you ever had a hose that's got the wrong end? There's something going on. I remember there was a Adam 12 that we watched. And these men were working on these pipes, and they connected the wrong hose to gas instead of water. So and these are all based on real life things that happened, right? And so they were arriving at people's houses, and their toilets were exploding in fire. Why? Because they were connected to the wrong source. They were connected to gas instead of water. People were turning on sprinklers in that area. everything was being lit up. So they had to go back to the source and figure out what in the world is going on. And one of the guys said, hey, they've been working on those gas lines, do you think? And the other guy was like, there's no way. They wouldn't do that. Well, sure enough, they did it, right? So they had to go back to the source and fix the source. Well, if your life feels like it's going up in flames, maybe, just maybe, you need to go back to the source. And if you have people in your life that their lives are like, I don't know why everything's going wrong and this and that, are you tithing? Well, what does tithing have to do with my health? Everything. Everything. What does tithing have to do with my relationships? Everything. What is because blessing isn't just finances. He rebukes the devourer that's trying to kill, steal, and destroy in your life. So we make sure that we're connected to the right source, so what's coming out is life and not death. Amen? And that comes from acknowledging first where your finances come from. Amen? Are we going to acknowledge where our finances come from today? Yes, we are. One more time. We're going to acknowledge. Grab your tithes and offerings. Let's pray over them. Father, we just thank you for your word today. And we declare as David, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty is all yours. And we recognize that you are our source today. And we thank you, Father, for providing for every need that we have exceedingly and abundantly above, so that we can give to every good work and we can be blessed to be a blessing like our father Abraham. That we can be a place, a funnel, Father, that you can flow through us to reach others. And we just praise you, Father, that as we give today, we are acknowledging that you are Lord over our finances. Not just part of them, not just some of them, but all of them. And that we will have that mindset of making sure we are connected to the source through our tithes and offerings. And Lord, we praise you today as we go into this series, God, that you're going to give us just minds to grab hold of the truth of your word, and that we will be able to remember those things to share with others about tithing, that they would see the blessing that comes from tithing, and that we would be able to change the traditions and the ways of men, and that people would be drawn back to tithing and drawn back to your word and drawn back to the source in their lives. We pray, Lord, you bless every seed that is sown today. Bless the sower exceedingly and abundantly above. And we thank you, Father, that they were blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Let's make a statement over our tithes and offerings. Just say, I believe. I receive the blessing of God on my tithes and offerings. Harvesting angels, I send you out to the north, south, east, and west. I call in my financial harvest. I receive raises, bonuses, inheritances, ideas, concepts, and insights. The blessing of God manifesting in every area of my life. Spirit, soul and body, and financially. And most of all, Father, use our giving to get the gospel preached around the world, that someone else could be saved, delivered, and healed. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen, amen. Give God a great big praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is building something right here. How many believe we need something right here? We talk about the world and the stuff God is doing, and why are we sowing seed into other ministries? Because we want him to do something right here. And that's what gives us permission to receive that, right? And legal right, so the devil can't hold it back. Amen? Are we dismissing kids? Oh, Pastor Shelley, go ahead.
Let me do one more thing really quick. Caleb, would you like to just share really quick a testimony about your dad? Would you come up? Sorry to put you on the spot about that. I'm going to grab.
1 second later, that actually just occurred to me. That's so strange. Good morning, everyone. So as you probably have heard, my dad had a heart attack, not this last Friday, but the previous week. He was playing tennis with three of his buddies from work, like they always do every week. and he just overdid it, and so he had to sit down afterwards, and his friends kind of knew something was up because he had put his towel over his face and head, and then he collapsed. And so my one friend, or one of his friends, Gary, he gave him CPR, and the 911 operator actually like walked him through how to do that. He'd never done it before. But that like kept him going until the paramedics arrived. And then the paramedics also like had to do the defib on him like three times. So he was revived basically six times total. And a main concern was that there'd be like damage to his brain, things like that. But he went to the hospital that morning, and he had two stents put into his heart. But he was like kind of awake already when I got there, like in the afternoon and early or later morning. He opened his eyes, and it was like a miracle. Even the nurse in there said, who was actually a believer, which was awesome to hear. He was like, wow, I've never seen in all my time working there something like that happen. And another nurse who had been working at Peace Health for like 20 years said that, yeah, maybe only like three patients that had been into cardiac arrest ever like you know, woke up that quickly. And so that was a miracle. It was a miracle that, you know, he survived. He could have died that day. He's actually... he would work from home this past week, and he had to take it easy later in the week. But yeah, it's just, you know, we're just thanking God that he's alive today, and you know that he has, you know, his healing power through him, and that he's going to have a full recovery. So, yeah, that's my story. So
you said he's actually working from home.
Yeah, so it's crazy. You know, Friday he went to the hospital.
So there's nothing wrong with his brain.
And then he went back to work on Monday. It's like nothing ever happened, you know? So,
wow.
But, yeah, nothing wrong with his brain. The biggest thing was that he had, like, fluid in his lungs, but even that's been cleared up. And so, yeah, and now it's just a matter of him recovering from the CPR and the cracked ribs. So,
right.
But that saved
right.
his life. So, yeah. It's
wow.
And every way you slice it, it's, yeah, a miracle. So
that's amazing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Did you pray over him when you were in the room?
Oh, yes. So it was Friday. I think it was during the evening, I had a chance where I was in the room with him, just me and him, and he was just kind of like zoning in and out, but I didn't even know that he was kind of like awake, but I was just sitting by his side and just praying in the spirit over him for, you know, healing and everything, and then later he told me that he heard me and that he, you know, like really spoke to him, and
wow.
That evening was when he started like talking more normally and was like coming back to like his normal self.
Amen.
And so, it was like, yeah, a great, you know, testimony for all of us. But,
yes.
So yes, thank you, Jesus, for your healing power. And
yes.
You know, we're just
Amen.
Trusting him. So.
Woo! Amen. Thank you, Caleb.
Caleb, thanks for sharing.
Thank you for sharing. Appreciate
wow.
it. Amen.
Shelly just
thank
said
you.
It. Heal it. So there's healing in your hands and in
yes.
your mouth. And past, I think Rick Renner's been teaching on that this past week. Thank you, Caleb. That's a powerful testimony, right? Signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Like Brother Hagin, I guess, said, sometimes signs just make people wonder. But that's the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Well, let's pray over this message, and we'll get right into it. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Hallelujah for your word to us today. We thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praises and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing this series for a couple of more weeks entitled The Blessings of Liberty. Somebody say, The Blessings of Liberty. Hallelujah. So, you know, in Jesus' liberty, there are no curses involved. There's no curse that anyone ever received or experienced and thought, wow, what liberty. No, we want liberty from the curse, right? Not liberty to it. It doesn't have liberty to do what it wants in my life. Hallelujah, right? In Galatians chapter 5, we're gonna look at this chapter in a little bit more detail this morning. So I'm going to start at verse 6 and read through maybe verse 15 or 16. For in Christ... Now, this is the Apostle Paul, right, ministering through the Holy Ghost. And how many know the Apostle Paul used to be this guy named Saul, who was all about persecuting the church, putting Christians in jail and prison, consenting to their death even. I mean, he says himself, I was the chief of sinners. And yet God took someone who was a chief of all sinners. And yes, Paul had a part to play, right? He had to say yes when, you know, the story of the road to Damascus, and he was on his way with some men to persecute more Christians. But Christians are praying. Caleb's testimony about the power of prayer and the word of God is so vital. And Christians are praying, and Jesus meets Paul, or Saul at the time, on the road. You remember the story? The light shows up, and Paul falls off of his horse onto the ground, and he was not a very tall man in stature, so that was a long fall probably, right? And he heard the voice. He saw Jesus. Why are you persecuting me, Jesus said, not why are you persecuting the church. Why are you persecuting me? How many know when people come against the church, they're coming against Jesus? I've heard, you've probably heard this too. A lot of people will say, well, I don't got a problem with Jesus. It's Christians. Well, you can't. If you have a problem with Christians, you got a problem with their Savior. Amen, right? I think it was Gandhi that said something to the effect of, I would have been a Christian until I met Christians. Well, that's an oxymoron. Right? And so he sees the light, and he hears the voice, and he sees Jesus and the men around him. I don't recall exactly if they either saw the light or heard. They didn't see him, but you know the story. And he lost his vision, he lost his sight. And the shortest salvation prayer ever, right? When he says, who are you, Lord? Paul had a decision to make at that point. Which way are we going? And it was his decision. It wasn't Jesus' decision. It wasn't the church's decision. It wasn't the devil's decision. It was Saul's decision. Do I continue along this road, or do I repent? And thanks be to God, Paul chose at that point to repent and come to Christ. Hallelujah. And from that point, his life was transformed to the point where he became Paul. And God used him to write much of the New Testament. And he became the devil's worst nightmare. In those times, you can read the stories of how many times the devil tried to kill him, whether it was through shipwreck or being stoned or beaten or whatever, and he just kept going. Hallelujah. And as the church, especially the westernized church, the American church, whatever, we could learn some things from that kind of fortitude of faith. Because for a long time, we've had it pretty easy in this country. But now, Brother Copeland shared that there's a church in downtown Dallas, Baptist Church, that was burned down this week. And the pastor just so happens to be outspoken against his support for President Trump. Coincidence? There was a, you know, when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, praise God for that, we celebrated that, right? There was a business down here in Vancouver on Highway 99, a carpet business. It had been there for years, but they always had political things on their windows in support of conservative Christian values, and they had said something to the effect of, thank you, Supreme Court, and that place burned down. Coincidence? Somebody say, that's persecution of the church. That's persecution of God's people. Right? And I can't tell you what we're getting. I'm going to read some more, but the Spirit of God is doing some things. When I heard this past week, it just gave me such joy. You know, it's kind of like you hear the crazy stuff the devil is doing through other humans, and sometimes you just have to go, like, you know, in Revelation, I think it's called the seven woes, right? In the Revelation, woe unto you. And sometimes you hear these things and you're just like, whoa, I've never heard of such craziness. Well, this past, in recent days, I've heard some things that made me say, wow, the goodness that we're seeing in people. Elon Musk did it again this week, where Gavin Newsom signed a bill or a law, whatever they call it, that schools cannot, not have an option. No, it's against the law for a public school to inform parents when their kid wants to become a transvestite. And Elon Musk said this. He said, because of that, I love the because of that. I love it. When you're talking about standing up for children, that's founding father level moxie. And guys like Mr. Trump and now Elon Musk, because of that, I'm taking my business efforts out of California. Because of that, standing up for children, someone with billions of dollars, putting children before the billions. Somebody say, that is what God is looking for. That is the kind of moxie God is looking for. Now, every time I see a Tesla, I just want to salute the Tesla. Now, I know he's a human being. Donald Trump's a human. We're all human beings. But Jesus, somebody say, but God. But when someone is leaning toward righteousness, that we need to applaud it, we need to salute it, we need to say stuff about it, and not be afraid and be an ostrich and stick our head in the sand about it. Let's get back to Galatians chapter 5, right? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Working through love. See, we don't have time to hate people. Jesus is not about hating people. But we do hate certain philosophies. Hate what is evil, cling to that which is good. And the devil will make it sound like that means you hate people. Verse 7, I believe these next verses apply to us as a nation, okay? So I want you to hear it in terms of as a nation. Verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him, capital H, who calls you. See, Jesus calls nations, right? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. See, we've allowed. And now it's really loud. Right? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just think about it in terms of the homosexual rights back in the day. Remember, it's, oh, we want homosexual rights. And then they wanted marriage. We want marriage. And then we want to adopt children. We want to have and adopt children. Now they want to transgenderize. Where does it end? It's the black hole. There is no end. It goes right into hell. And the church has allowed and allowed again. And don't get involved in politics because you're the church. Be separate. No. Somebody say, not when there's kids at stake for one reason, right? Verse 10, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. Somebody say, no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. This is coming from God. How many know it's important to make sure we're on God's side during all of this, right? And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. The offense, think about that, the offense of the cross. If Jesus isn't offending someone, he ain't Jesus. When we try to take the offense of the gospel off who we are as the church and put rainbows on the banner? Why don't we just put a little red face with horns and say, everyone, welcome here. Now, yes, if someone comes in who's in that lifestyle, just like if someone came in who is on drugs, or someone came in who's into some other kind of adulterous thing, or someone who comes in with addicted to alcoholism, yes, 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 that's why there's a church. There's a beautiful worship song we heard on the way into church this morning. I had kind of forgot about it from a few years ago. But it's the one where, I'm running to your arms. Remember that one? I'm running to your arms. How many know you need to run to him? Don't run away from him. If you have an issue, you don't run away from him. You run to him. But I got news for the church. He is not on the side of the issue. He's not saying, bring your issue. We'll celebrate your issue. We'll have programs to support you in your issue. We'll honor your issue. We'll put your issue on the board. And we'll all just celebrate. And we'll put pastors on staff that have the same issue. And we'll teach it to children like it's just okay. That's called taking the offense out of the offense of the cross out of the church. That's Operation Hell. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen, right? I could wish, verse 12, that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. We're seeing some of that right now in the Democratic Party, where there is piranhas. In regards to the presidency right now, piranhas. And it's not about love for God and country, it's about love for power. Who's gonna grab the power, right? They're literally, some of those people are cutting themselves off. What's a good time to do? It's time to run to Jesus as a nation. And we're seeing a lot of that, is the point. It's not supposed to be discouraging, should be encouraging. But the point is, we should keep at it. Make sure we ourselves are coming to him, not running away from him. Amen. Verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. In the first paragraph of the Constitution says this, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Somebody say, secure the blessings of liberty. And isn't that what Jesus has done for us all? He has secured the blessings of liberty, but we need to be engaged and connected and staying connected to him. Amen? Liberty means words like freedom, unrestrained, citizenship, not a slave, exempt from obligation or liability. See, when the devil tries to push his trash on us, we just need to say, oh no, devil, I'm exempt from that. I'm not your slave. Right? To go at your pleasure, to be a citizen. How many know citizenship? That's a big word right now, isn't it? Shouldn't just anybody who ever comes into this nation just be a citizen? Just accept everybody. No, no, no. There are responsibilities to citizenship. Things like following the law, law and order. Hallelujah. I heard of a sporting event in Miami recently where a lot of people just kind of busted in and tore the place up. They haven't been taught citizenship. This is not a third world country. This is the United States of America, right? But that comes from our foundation of faith in God's word, because this Bible is the foundation of law and order and life and liberty. Without it, it's anarchy. Amen? So we stay in faith. Citizenship. But our first of all, we need to remember as the body of Christ that I am first a citizen of the kingdom of God. And that should apply to every area of my life. How I vote, how I work, how I parent, how I teach, how I minister. Hallelujah. Amen. But I've been in this course, Biblical Citizenship. This has been such a great course. And I just finished week 6 of 8. Patriot Academy, Rick Green. I'd encourage you all to check it out, patriotacademy.com. You can actually register to do your own class. I may even have a class myself. I think once I go through this, I can do that. I've got to find out. But anyway, this is just great information for us all to be brushing up on. And there's too many details for me to go into all of it in this, you know, venue. But this past week, the chapter was entitled Of Kings and Courts. The last message, we emphasized the Congress. Now we're talking about president and judges this week. Hallelujah. And they said this, the most significant part of the president's responsibilities is to make sure the law, somebody say the laws, to make here the laws are faithfully executed. John Adams said that faithfully executing the laws would make us a nation of laws and not of men. And let's explain that here. The interest, he says, this is a quote from John Adams, the interest of the people is one thing. It is the public interest. And when the public interest governs, it is a government of laws and not of men. The interest of a king or a party is another thing. It is a private interest. And where private interest governs, it is a nation of men, not of laws. Have we seen anything like this in recent years? Where it's more about, I mean, again, talking about what we're hearing in current events like right now. I refuse to relinquish my power and authority. You're not thinking about the nation. You're thinking about you. In public officials, we need to look for people who will set themselves aside and enforce the will of the people. And one amazing thing, I still don't fully have a grasp for the Electoral College, but he explained it in the teaching. And the Electoral College is a huge election security mechanism, because without it, all of the heaviest, you know, promoting and campaigning would be done in big cities. And they said even our forefathers made statements regarding how much sin is just magnetized to big cities and how corrupt big cities are, generally speaking. You can think about way back to Abraham and Lot, right? Where did Lot want to go? Where there was a lot of sin. Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And so the Electoral College forces people to campaign in rural areas as well as in cities. Amen? And it's a security mechanism to make sure that, like, a true democracy, if it was just a popular vote thing, is easy to corrupt. But an Electoral College helps to be a mechanism whereby it's harder to steal and corrupt the election process. In other words, we're not a true democracy. We are a democratic republic. I mean, they just had such insight. Because they knew the nature of men will become corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Hallelujah. The practice of issuing executive orders started with President Washington. Executive orders are constitutional if, somebody say if, they are executing a law that Congress has actually passed. And he talked, and this straightened me out. No, we got to speed up here a little bit. This straightened me out. I'm getting correct into my thinking. I'd always thought of the branches of our government as co-equal. Well, they're not. They're not co-equal. The judiciary branch is actually the weakest branch. Because all judges are supposed to do is make decisions based on the law and the Constitution. They're not supposed to be legislating and being the law and making up their own and being coerced by special interest groups and people in, you know, the legislative branch where they're all kind of mingled up together. That is dangerous. Congress is the most powerful branch because Congress is should be closest to the people. And then the executive branch, the president, is the second. So there is a chain of authority. Hallelujah. What insight and what amazing. That's why almost 250 years later, it's even though it's got issues, it still stands, and we need to be fighting for this, right? Now, the judicial branch, and we're going to pray this in just a moment as we close, we're going to pray over these judges and the office of the president, right? The judicial branch has taken control where they were never designed to have, because we the people have not known the Constitution ourselves. He even showed a picture of the Supreme Court's website that says, we are co-equal. And he said, no, you're not co-equal with the other two branches of government, right? It says, today, the law schools teach that judges are responsible for all law. Somebody say, danger, danger, right? Of the 27 grievances declared in the Declaration of Independence, 4 of them were regarding judges. Have we noticed in recent days in history any issues coming from corrupt judges? You know how you can tell where, because they'll say, oh, we're nonpartisan. No, just look up their website and see who supports them, who endorses them. That's all you need to know. And in many cases, they'll be like, well, then who do I vote for? There's been many, many times I don't vote. Leave it blank and pray. But I noticed there's at least one, like, attorney general out there that says he's Republican. This is, you know, good for Washington, I'm talking about. In Oregon, you need to do your homework as well. Hallelujah. Federal and state, right? Samuel Adams complained about judicial tyranny in the form of lack of responsibility and lifetime appointments as far back as 1765. The idea of lifetime appointments for judges is not a healthy thing. Lack of responsibility and lifetime appointments. Somebody say, danger. Alexander Hamilton said the judiciary was the weakest branch and wouldn't be a threat to our liberty if, somebody say, if it remains in its proper jurisdiction. This is from the Federalist Papers. In fact, I've got that. I can actually read to you directly from his quote. And this time I brought my reading spectacles because this is like, this is like in italics and the judiciary is beyond comparison the weakest of the three departments of power. The general liberty of the people can never be endangered from that quarter. I mean, so long as the judiciary remains truly distinct, somebody say truly distinct, from both the legislature and the executive. And it proves in the last place that as liberty can have nothing to fear from the judiciary alone, but would have everything to fear from its nation, from its union with either of the other departments. The judiciary has no influence over either the sword or the purse. That's the president and Congress, right? No direction either of the strength or of the wealth of the society can take no active resolution whatever. It may truly be said to have neither force nor will, but merely judgment. Somebody say judgment, right? And must ultimately depend upon the aid of the executive arm even for the efficacy of its judgments. So see, judges shouldn't be legislating from the bench. Because why? Because they're not in the legislative branch. And even if they were, there's a lot of other people in that branch that represent the people. Amen? Got one more here. Hallelujah. The judiciary was established by and is accountable to the other two branches of government because they owe a responsibility to the people. Somebody say responsibility to the people, not to their special interest groups or whoever's, you know, paying them the most. That's why what Elon Musk did. I think it's a right-hand salute, right? Is it a right-hand salute, Dad? Sorry, I salute that kind of. The love of money is the root of all evil. So how great is it when we have billionaires with character? Hallelujah. That ought to make us prosperity people pretty excited because obviously God can use prosperity to do good things. Amen. Judges both of the Supreme Court and inferior courts shall hold their offices. This is funny. In Article 3, this is from the Constitution. Judges both of the Supreme Court and inferior court shall hold their offices during good behavior. In other words, if you're not behaving, then you could be impeached as a judge. You'll enjoy this. As we close, we'll close with these fun thoughts here. Where did I go? Amen, Sherry Lynn. Article 3, Section 1. Yeah. The judges, both of the Supreme and inferior court, shall hold their offices during good behavior. Now, this is what I wanted to share. Judges have been impeached in our history. It's funny. Rick Green was talking about how many times the 25th Amendment has been used in our history. Zero. I think there was maybe a few minutes where Bush, when Reagan was shot, but he came in and said, hey, he's going to be fine, we're good. But he started talking about, he started going through these TV shows about the president, like 24 and West Wing. And he was like, and he kept pulling up, oh, and they used it in this episode and in this episode, but it really has never been used, right? So, but listen to this. These are some things that have happened. Judges have been impeached for issuing an order contradicting an act of Congress. Drunkenness in private life. Rudeness in the courtroom. Profanity. And judicial high-handedness. Now, how many think it'd be good to have some standards return? When they're, you know, legislating from the bench and just, you know, persecuting political opponents, evil stuff. Amen? So let's stand up. We're going to pray and close this morning. But let's pray over the judges, over the election, over the presidency, And let's, what we're doing right now is we're speaking words of faith. We're speaking words of spirit that can get involved, just like what Caleb did in the hospital room. And things began to change as he prayed. That's a great example. And we're right now, as citizens of America and citizens of God's kingdom, we're saying some words that Satan, you have been exposed. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we vote to impeach you, Satan, for your bad behavior. And anyone that does not have that Apostle Paul-like faith where they'll realize and see the light and run to Jesus, anyone that continues to follow you, Satan, we announce that they will be removed from office and replaced with someone who does love God, with someone who does honor the people before their perversions, who honors the Word of God, who honors God, who honors life and liberty and children and law and order. In the name and by the blood of Jesus, we apply the blood over the office of the president, over Mr. Biden and Ms. Harris, over Mr. Trump and Mr. Vance and all of their families and administrations, and we speak the blessing and plan of God over that office. In Jesus' name, Satan, you stay your hand off the office of the President of the United States. We pray for healing for Mr. Biden. We pray for salvation for them and for Kamala Harris. And God, we pray your plan and your power over the Trumps and over the Vances. And there be a supernatural preservation over them. Supernatural protection over them and their families. I so love, God, how the Trumps, their whole family is involved in this. Even the granddaughter that spoke at the convention this past week. Hallelujah. And over business people like Elon Musk and so many that we don't even know who their names are, that you're doing a mighty work in this nation. You're turning this nation away from darkness, away from death, away from evil, and back to the light. And over every courtroom, Supreme Court, district courts, federal courts, state courts, over every judgment, over every judge, we say, Kingdom of God come, will of God be done, righteous judgments according to truth and law and the Constitution. And that those who refuse to bow the knee to God will be removed from their judgment seats. We announce judgment against them. We announce judgment against every courtroom where justice is disregarded. Satan, we cast you out. We impeach you in any of those who continue to follow you. And that there would be righteous judges coming in from the north, south, east, and west, righteous judges, righteous district attorneys, righteous prosecuting attorneys, righteous attorney generals. Law and order will be reestablished in this land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we praise you for these things, Father. We praise you in advance, Lord, for the mighty things you're doing in this nation. We will continue to pray and intercede and pray in the Holy Ghost and stay engaged in our faith. We will vote in these primaries coming up, in Jesus' name, and we'll do our homework, and we'll listen to your voice, and make the right choice. And we give you the praise now. We pray for everyone who's running for office, God, over any party. We apply the blood of Jesus, but we speak the right choices into office, and we bind election corruption at the state level, county level, national level. Hands off, devil. And we give you all the praise in advance, Lord God, as we continue to stand in faith, securing the blessings of liberty. Not just to us, Lord, but to the next generations coming. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.